Okay, we're going to start here on the bottom of Ayin Bet Amud Bet by the two dots. Be'elu nishalim be'urim t'vitumim. Over here we're discussing the big day kahuna, big day kohen gadol. The Mishnah says that in order to make a request of the Urim V'tumim, that you have to be lavush in the eight bigadim of the Kohen Gadol. So now we have two misoros with regards to what Rabbi Yochanan said. We're going to have Rav Dimi, and later on in the Gemara we're going to have Ravin bring a different misora as to what Rabbi Yochanan says. We're going to start out with Rav Dimi's misora, which is Kiato Rav Dimi, Amar Bigadim Shekohen Gadol Mishamesh Behen, Meshuach Melchama Mishamesh Behen. Rav Dimi says, and later on we'll see that it seems to be a memra from Rabbi Yochanan, that the Bigadim that the Kohen Gadol uses, meaning the eight vestments of the Kohen Gadol, the Meshuach Melchama also utilizes those same eight vestments. The Meshuach Melchama is a Kohen who's specifically appointed for this position. He leads the troops into battle. The Torah describes to us in Parashat Shoftim exactly what transpires there. The Kohen gets up, he gives a speech to the troops. He's the religious leader that takes the troops into battle to remind them that the reason they're going into battle and who's going to be with them in battle is God. This is not simply a battle just of who's stronger, but that a Kodesh Baruch Hu and the Shekhinah is with them, and that you have to have the right mindset, mind frame when you go into battle. So he's called the Meshuach Milchama. So this Meshuach Milchama, it says here, wears the same eight clothes as the Kohen Gadol, Shneamar, Uvigdei HaKodesh Asher Le'aron, Yu Levanav Acharav, Lemi Sheba Bigdula Acharav. Those clothing, or those Bigdei Kodesh of Aaron that will be to his children after him. To his children after him doesn't little mean his children, it means his descendants, but here it means, Banav Acharav, the Gemara says, Bigdula Acharav. Anybody who is in a position of authority, a position of leadership as a Kohen, will wear those bigadim. So that will include the Kohen Gadol, it will include the Skan Kohen Gadol, and the Meshuach Milchama, according to this. So Meidi Rav Adarbava. Rav Adarbava asks, V'amri la Akadi, and some say that it was said without attribution, the question, Yechol Yehei Benoshel Meshuach Milchama Mishamesh Tachtav, Kederach Shebenoshel Kohen Gadol Mishamesh Tachtav. You would think that the son of the Meshuach Milchama would be in line to inherit his father's position, just like the son of the Kohen Gadol is in line to inherit his father's position. Now that's not so clear. The fact that the son of the Kohen Gadol takes his father's position is that he has the first right of refusal. That means that if he is ra'ui to be a Kohen Gadol, then we would opt for the son of the Kohen Gadol. But it's not like the kingship, that it's automatic or it's an inheritance. The Torah Kohanim says, Takar Aviv, that when it says Takar Aviv, it means Ma'amej HaBen Kodem, that the Ben goes before anybody else. Yochol Afo Pi She'ein Mimalei Et Mekomo, even if he's not worthy, you would think maybe he gets it. Tamalomar She Yimalei. So he has to fill his father's shoes. So if he's not as good as his father, he does not get the position. So it's not an inheritance. So Tamid Bomar, Shivat Yamim, Yobashem HaKohen, Tachtav Mi Banav, Asher Yavo Elo Moed. So the Gemara brings a pasuk to answer this question as to whether the child of the Meshuach Milchama has the same status as the child of a Kohen Gadol. It says here that Shivat Yamim, Yobashem HaKohen, Tachtav Mi Banav, 7 days he'll wear him as a descendant, Asher Yavo Elo Moed, the one who is coming to the Elo Moed. Mi Shra'u Edavo Elo Moed. This only has application to someone who is going to go into the Ol Moed, meaning into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Who's the one that goes into the Kodesh HaKodeshim? That's the Kohen Gadol. The application of this idea that there's a passing of the baton from the father to the son only applies to the Kohen Gadol, does not apply to the Meshuach Milchama. Vimita, if you are right, Rav Dimi, Michza Chazi, then the Kohen Meshuach Milchama is also ra'ui to go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. He has the eight vestments of the Kohen Gadol. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Chalkamar, Ko she'ikar mishichato lo moed, Yatzezeh she'ikar mishichato lo milchama. It's not exclusively he's the only one who can go into the Ol Moed. Rather, his primary purpose as the Kohen Gadol is to go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. The primary purpose of the anointment of the Meshuach Milchama is to lead the troops into the battle. Yes, he can go into the Ol Moed, but that's not his primary job. So the answer here is that the inheritance only applies to the Kohen Gadol, not to Meshuach Milchama, because the way the Pasuk lays out is only the one who has primary job is to enter the Kodesh HaKodeshim, has this din of passing down the baton to his child if he is Ra'oi. Meid Tevei, Meshuach Milchama, it says here that the Meshuach Milchama has a similar problem to what we had with the Skan before, which is that he can't use the four vestments of the regular Kohen, and he cannot use the eight vestments of the Kohen Gadol. Yeah, so Amar Le Abaye, Ela Zar Mishavitle, What are you going to make him into a zar now? He can't function as a kohen anymore if you say that. Ella, kegoin gadol. Why can't he wear the vestments of the kohen gadol? Mishum eva. The problem of jealousy, the problem of competition for the position. The kohen gadol is not going to be so happy that there's some other guy wearing the same eight clothes that he's wearing. Kohen hejot, he can't put on the begadim like the kohen gadol. Mishum malim bekodesh vilo moridim. Because he's now been raised to the level of Meshuach Milchama, for him to be downgraded back to a Kohen Ediot, that is not acceptable. After he's acted as Meshuach Milchama. So Amrle Ravada Bavala Rovo, Vaha Tana Delitle Eva, Veloka Mishamish. So what Abayi suggests over here is, the reason the Meshuach Milchama cannot serve after he's been Meshuach Milchama is because he's in this catch-22. The same problem that the Skan Kohen had, if he filled in for the Kohen Gadol, he's now been elevated up to Kohen Gadol. He acted as a Kohen Gadol. When he returns back to his previous status, what is he then? Is he a Kohen Hejot? That would be beneath him because he was already a Kohen Gadol. Is he a Kohen Gadol? We can't leave him in the position of Kohen Gadol because there really is a Kohen Gadol. So he's left in this twilight zone. Same thing happens here with this Meshuach Milchama. That's at least a suggestion of Abayi. The reason that he's caught here is because of this problem. That he was at one point elevated, and now he's dropped down. What we have here is a question from Rav Abba to Rava, Bahatana, Delitli Eva. We're about to quote a Braita that shows you there's a Tana here who says that he doesn't worry about Eva. He doesn't worry about this competitive, jealous behavior. Veloka Mishamish. And yet, he still says that the Meshuach Milchama cannot act or function like the Kohen Gadol. The Tanya. Varim Sheben Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Hejot. What are the differences between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hejot? The first is par. Here there's a duplication. It says par kohen mashiach par habal kol mitzvot. That's one korban. You really should read par habal kol mitzvot, which is the par that the kohen gadol brings if he violates an avera based on a psak that he gives to himself, and he violates something that you would bring a chatat. A normal person would bring a chatat and would be chayav great. He has what's called the par kohen mashiach. It's a special korban chatat for the kohen gadol. So that only applies to the Kohen Gadol, not to a Kohen Hejot. Upar Yom HaKippurim, the par which we've been discussing all along, that's the par that the Kohen Gadol brings. But Sirita Ifa is the daily chavitin that is brought by the Kohen Gadol, Machatzita Baboker, Machatzita Baerev, that he brings daily, that's only brought by the Kohen Gadol. Lo Poreya Velo Poreim, as opposed to a Kohen Hejot who has a relative who passes away, who he has to be mitabel elam, one of the seven relatives that he has to sit shiva for, then if he does that, then he's poreya and poreim. Poreya means he lets his hair grow out. He may not get a haircut. Poreim is that he tears his clothing. He tears kriya over those relatives and he has tattered clothing. But a Kohen Gadol does not do that. The Kohen Gadol is precluded from participating in the minhagei avelut. Therefore, he has to keep his hair cut, can't let it grow out, can't rip his clothing or leave his clothing in tatters. He has to serve as the Kohen Gadol. Aval poreim hu lemelamato. He makes a small tear down below at the base of his garments just to indicate that he is an avel. Vehejot milamalo. A Kohen Hejot tears at the top like anybody else would tear. Ve'emit tamelik rovav. Kohen Hejot with the seven relatives that he has to be with avel him, he becomes tamei for them. According to the Rambam, he must become tamei for them. According to the Rishonim, he can become tamei with them to deal with them. Kohen Gadol is precluded from that. He may not become tamei, period. Umitzuveh lebtula. Kohen Gadol must marry a betula. That's a mitzvah to say for the Kohen Gadol. Umzhar al-almana. There's a mitzvah lo to say to marry an almana. He may not marry a widow. Umakzir et arutzeach. And his death allows someone who killed Bishogeg to be freed from the Ir Mikolat. Umakrivonein. When he's on a name, meaning if a relative that he has to be mitabel aleim, one of those seven relatives passes away before the burial, on that day of the passing, he is an onein. A regular kohen who's an onein may not serve in the mikdash. And if he serves in the mikdash, it's chulin, it's michalel, it's the avodah. Doesn't work. The kohen gadol is just the opposite. Makriv onein, he must continue to serve in the mikdash, and he can be makriv while he is an onein. Now, ve'en ochel. Like a Kohen Hejot, he may not eat from the Kodoshim during that period of time. Veino Cholek, he doesn't divide up in the Kodoshim, even though that night already he could eat in the Kodoshim. Nevertheless, since you cannot eat, you cannot be in the division of the Korbanot of that day. Venotel Chelek Barosh, Umakriv Chelek Barosh, we discussed this in the first parak, that the Kohen Gadol gets the right to the first piece, Whatever division is there, he gets first choice of what is there. We had a day out there that he gets half, they get half. And same thing with Makriv, Chalik Barosh. If he wants to take on the Mizbeach, what he wants to be Makriv, he gets his choice. Umeshamesh Bishmona Kelim. And he serves with his eight vestments. Upatur Automat Mikdash Uptashav. This is not for our Gemara over here. From the Psukim, it's Gzerat HaKatuv, that the Kohen Gadol does not have a problem with Tumat Mikdash Uptashav. Chol Abudat Yom HaKippurim Einan Kesherot Elabo. All the Avodah of Yom Kippur can only be done by the Kohen Gadol. That's what we've been reading all the way through in Seder Yoma. The Kohen Gadol has to do all the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, whereas the Kohen Hedjot may not pick that up for him. Tumat Mikdash Uptashav is that if he is Tamei and he forgets about it and enters the Mikdash, or Tumat Aguf, he eats Kodashim B'Shogeg, he's not subject to the normal dinim of Tumat Mikdash Kodashav. Again, that's a Gzeret HaKaduv. For our purposes, it's just something that's different between him and the Kohen Hedjot. Now, V'kulan, Noagot, B'merubei Megadim. All these are true, not only of a Kohen Gadol who's anointed B'Shem HaMishcha, but also of a Kohen Gadol who wears the eight vestments. Later on, after the time of Yoshiyahu HaMelech, when they put into Gniza the Shem HaMishcha, the Kohen Gadol became the Kohen Gadol, not because he was anointed, but simply because he wore the eight clothes of the Kohen Gadol. So the Kohen Gadol who becomes Kohen Gadol because he was anointed, and a Kohen Gadol who becomes a Kohen Gadol because he wore the eight vestments, both of them had the same din, except Chutz Mipara Bal Kol HaMitzvot. Except for the Kar Kohen Mashiach, because there it specifically says, a Kohen HaMashiach, the anointed one. So there where it specifies it has to be the anointed one, there's a difference between him and someone who wears eight vestments. Otherwise, everything else is the same. Even though, also by the Asir Tarifah, it writes Mashiach, which would indicate that only a Mashuach should bring the Asir Tarifah, nevertheless, Yidrabe Nami Rube Begadim, Mi Vaha Kohen B'Torat Kohanim. Rashi notes here that even though the Asir Tarifah should have the same din as the Par Kohen Mashiach, nevertheless, since there's a special wee boy from the Pasuk, even a Merubei Gadim is allowed to bring the Asir Tarifah and not just a Kohen that was Mashuach B'Shem and HaMishcha. V'kulan Noagot B'Mashuach She'avar. That was a Kohen Gadol that was previously the Kohen Gadol and now has been retired out of service. Rashi says he was a fill-in for the Kohen Gadol. This Kohen Gadol She'avar filled in for the Kohen Gadol and then the other Kohen Gadol came back. So that's the classic scenario where we talked about early in the Masechta, where there could be jealousy. V'kulan Noagot B'Mashuach She'avar. All those are Noeg B'Mashuach She'avar. So he can do all of these things, even though there is a new Kohen Gadol. Chutz Mipar Yom HaKippurim V'Asir Tarifah. Has same rights as the Kohen Gadol. Chutz Mipar Yom HaKippurim. On the par of Yom Kippur, because there it says bring par echad and not shnei parim. So it can only be one Kohen Gadol who's bringing the par on Yom Kippur. Can't be two Kohanim Gadolim bringing the par on Yom Kippur. So obviously it's the Kohen Gadol that does that, not the Mishuach She'avar. V'Asir Tarifah, the daily korban of the Kohen Gadol. Again, there it says you bring one mincha a day, not multiple minachot a day, and therefore it's the main Kohen Gadol that does it. The Mishuach She'avar, who is the Kohen Gadol Emeritus. Because he's the Kohen Gadol Emeritus, he has all the rights of a Kohen Gadol, except for these two unique items, which he can't replicate, because we need to have a singular Kohen Gadol for these items. And that's Par Yom HaKippurim and the Asir Tarifah. But what you see from this is, this Tana does not worry about Eva, about jealousy. He does not worry about the fact that this Kohen Gadol Emeritus can go in and serve and act like a Kohen Gadol vis-a-vis the real Kohen Gadol, and we don't worry about that. We don't say, there's going to be Eva, there's going to be a problem of competition, jealousy. We don't have any of that mentioned here. This Tana does not worry about that. It says he can do all these things. Yet, V'kulan Einu Agot B'Shuach Melchama. None of these apply to a Meshuach Melchama. Chutz Michamisha Dvarim Amurim B'Parsha. Meshuach Melchama can only do the five things that are mentioned in the Parshat Kohen Gadol in Parshat Emor. A Kohen Gadol Me'achav, says there in Parshat Emor, he has these rules. So these rules will apply to the Meshuach Melchama no more than that. So what are those? Lo Pareya, Velo Pareim, Velo Mitameh Dekrovav. What are the rules that are mentioned there? Can't grow his hair out, can't tear his clothing, he does not become Tameh for his relatives. Umitzuveh Ala Betula, he has a mitzvah to say to marry a Betula. Umuzhar Ala Mana, and he may or may not marry an Almana, Lota say. Umachzir et arotzeach yedivrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that if the Meshuach Melchama passes away, then he also helps out someone who's in Eir Miklat. Chomim Rim Enu Machzir. Chomim disagree with that and say he doesn't do that. All right, separate machloket about whether he's able to bring back the person who's in the Eir Miklat. Tosafot right here decides according to Rabbi Yehuda what happens when a rotzeach kills the Kohen Gadol. That's a scenario in the Makot where he kills the Kohen Gadol himself. He's stuck there forever. Tosafot wants to know why is that. Because you have also the Meshuach Milchama that can bring him back. You have another Kohen Gadol, the Skan, possibly that could bring him back. Why are we so worried about him killing the Kohen Gadol? Why is he then out of the picture? So Tosfot says over here that the Ikar person who can return you is the Kohen Gadol. And for whatever reason you eliminated him by killing him, then you're not going to get the benefit of these secondary people who can bring you back. You're basically what I would say Nira Venidcha. You had the opportunity to come back. You got rid of that Kohen Gadol. We're not going to give you a second chance at coming back because there are other secondary Kohanim Gadolim that can bring you back. But what you have here now is a layout in this Braita, someone who says clearly, we don't worry about Eva. And yet, he says the Meshuach Milchama does not function like a regular Kohen Gadol. The only thing that he does or overlaps with the Kohen Gadol are these five items that are mentioned in the Pashat Emor. Oh, so the one extra thing actually that's mentioned in Emor about the service is Rashi notes that Avalo Makriv Onein, he doesn't bring Korban as an Onein, Afagav Dichti Bahayi Parshata. Even though it's written in the Parsha of the Kohen Gadol that he's Makriv Onein, the Meshuach Mechamah does not get that benefit because over there it says Alav Velo Al Chaveiro. Talks about him and no one else. There's a mute that says it applies only to the main Kohen Gadol and not to the Meshuach Milchama. But what you see from this Braita is that Din of Eva, not applicable here. And despite the fact that there's no Eva here, he does not allow the Kohen Meshuach Milchama to come in and function like a Kohen Gadol. He does not put on the eight vestments of the Kohen Gadol. He doesn't function anything like a Kohen Gadol. So this Braita brings a serious challenge to Abaye's position here that the whole reason that the Meshuach Milchama does not wear the clothing of the Kohen Gadol is because of Eva. Minatara, he could wear them and he could serve in the Mikdash. It's just a question of Eva. This Tana indicates that we don't worry about Eva, and yet he's still not allowed to wear the eight clothes of the Kohen Gadol. So that would be problematic for Abaye's explanation. It also would present a quasi-challenge to the position of Rav Dimi, who says that the Meshuach Milchama can serve like the Kohen Gadol in the Mikdash. Obviously, if you explain it to Abaye's way, it's going to be problematic. If you come up with a different explanation, then this Braita wouldn't be such a challenge to him. But in the meantime, it is a challenge to his position as well. So Gemara says, no. Ki leit lei Eva, this Tana, when he doesn't have Eva, is bidich batei. When you're talking about a peer, someone is on equal footing with him. But if he has a lower person in the hierarchy that is now wearing the eight vestments, acting like a Kohen Gadol, there he has Eva. Meshuach Milchama technically could wear the eight vestments, so that's what he should be doing. He doesn't because of the jealousy, the enmity that would be created with the Kohen Gadol. What about the backup Kohen Gadol also, who's walking around with the eight vestments now? Well, he's on his equal footing. That's another Kohen Gadol. That doesn't bother him so much. But someone who's beneath him in the hierarchy, all of a sudden he's walking around with the same clothing, that would bother him, especially in a very hierarchical society. That would be something that would be a taboo that the Meshuach Milchama would wear that. And for that reason, the Tana distinguishes between the Miskan Kohen or the backup Kohen that filled in, that can continue to service in that way, versus the Meshuach Milchama who cannot do that. So that's, again, not a question on Abaye now, because Abaye said that was the reasoning behind why he was not servicing afterwards. And also, not a question on the fact that the Kohen Meshuach Milchama can serve just like the Kohen Gadol. It's true, but because there's nowhere for him to fit. He can't go back to being a Kohen Gadol, can't be a Kohen Gadol because of the Eva. He can't function like the Kohen Gadol. Yotiv Rabbi Abou, V'kamer la l'hai shmaita d'mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Abou was saying over this memra in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. That's why I said before, Rabbi Dimi was probably bringing the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Adrinu Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asida Apayu. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yassi turned their faces away as if to indicate that they thought it was wrong. What they were saying was wrong. Igadami Rabbi Chia bar Abba Amra. Some say that it was Rabbi Chia bar Abba, not Rabbi Abou who was saying it. Vajrinu Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yassi the Apayu and they turned away. Matkifla Rabbi Papa. Rabbi Papa says, Bishlamar Rabbi Abou. If the story that you're bringing was Rabbi Abou, Mishum Yakru de Beit Hazar, that it would make sense, the story, because of the kavod of the house of the Caesar. I mean, this is in Roman times, and Rabbi Abou was in a high officiating position or official position within the government. So out of respect for his position or political position, they didn't want to disagree with him openly or directly. So they indicated their displeasure by turning away. But Elo Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Nimrulei, Meimar lo Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ochi. Just say it straight to him. Rabbi Chia bar Abba, he's another one of the Talmidei Chachamim. They should be able to speak up and say that we disagree. Rabbi Yochanan never said such a thing. The Rabbah just points out that it makes more sense that it was Rabbi Abou who was telling over the memra because the actions of Rabbi Ami and Rav Asi reflect respect for someone who was greater than them, and that would be true. Rabbi Abou would not have been true by Rabbi Chia bar Abba. Yatar Rabin. This is a common thing that happens in the Gemara. We have Rav Dimi who brought a member from Yochanan, and now we have Ravin bringing a member from Yochanan. They're traveling between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. Ravin brings a different version of what Rabbi Yochanan said. Similar, but different. And it makes a big difference, which is, Ki'at Ravin Amar Nishal Itmar. Rabbi Yochanan said he was talking about asking the Urim Vitumim. Tanya Nami Yochi. We have a brayta that supports that. Bigadim Shekohen Gadol Meshamesh Behen. Mishuach Meuchama Nishal Behen. The vestments of the Kohen Gadol, which he serves in the Mikdash with, the Meshuach Melchama has to utilize them in order to ask from the Urim Vitumim. So that's a nuanced difference, but very different. What was said before by Rav Dimi was, Bigadim Shekohen Gadol Meshamesh Behen, Meshuach Melchama Mishamesh Behen. The Big Day Kohen Gadol, the Meshuach Melchama can wear them and serve as a Kohen Gadol in the Mikdash. So that would mean that he's on equal footing with the Kohen Gadol. This member says no. That when he's doing his job, then he can wear the eight clothes of the Kohen Gadol, because that's what allows him to do his job, to ask from the Urim Vitumim. But besides that, he does not wear the eight vestments of the Kohen Gadol, because he can't serve in the Mikdash in those clothing. So that's a little nuanced difference, but big difference, because the way Rav Dimi expressed it, he's basically equal to the Kohen Gadol. Now the expression is just, when necessary, he puts on the eight clothes of the Kohen Gadol. Tana Banan, Ketzad Shoalim. So now we're going to move on to the next stage, which is, okay, Nishal, we mentioned in our Mishnah, here. What does it mean to ask of the Urim Vitumim? So how do you do this? Hashuel Panav Klapei Nishal. The Shoel, the questioner, the asker, faces the Nishal, the one who is going to ask on his behalf, meaning facing the Kohen Meshuach Melchamar, the Kohen Gadol. Vanishal Panav Klapei Shechina. And a Nishal faces towards the Shechina. It's not clear here. Rashi claims that Nishal Klapei Shechina means he's looking down at the Urim Vitumim, whereas you could have argued that he's looking towards the Kodesh HaKodeshim, that the Nishal is facing the Kodesh HaKodeshim or facing the Aron. Then the question is guys back towards the Aron. That's probably why Rashi did not explain it that way and explained that the Kohen Gadol is looking down at the Urim Vitumim. So therefore, there's no relevance in terms of the questioner's backing towards the Kodesh HaKodeshim. It's a fair question. If you read it the way that I suggested originally, then it does present that problem. If you have the Kohen Gadol facing the Shekhinah, the West, and the Shoel facing him, but behind him, then they're both facing the Aron, and then you won't have that problem. But here it sounds to be that they're facing in Panav. They're facing directly towards each other, and that's why I think Rashi explains that he's looking down at the Urim Vitumim, the Kohen Gadol. Hashuel Omer, the Shuel asked the question, and the Gemara brings a real question that was asked of the Urim Vitumim, which is with David HaMelech. When he asks, he says, Erdof Acharei Agdud Hazeh. It's by the Amaleki. After the Amaleki overrun Siklag, where the families of David's army and his own family was, his two wives were, the Amaleki override that area, they plunder the place, and they take all the women and run off with David's wives and everybody's wives. He asks, so the Urim, he says, Erdof Acharei Agdud Hazeh. Should I chase them down? And he's given the positive answer. Here the Gemara says, Benishal Omer, Kohen Gadol responds, Kor Mashem Alei Vatzleach. That go ahead and you're going to be successful. That's not what it's answered over there. The answer there is a little different, but the spirit of the answer is this way, which is, go, you're going to be successful. You don't have to preface the statement with this is what Hashem says, because it's clear that Hashem is the one speaking, Ela Alei Vatzleach. And you just get the answer directly because it's clear that it's coming from Hashem. Ain shoalim bakol, you don't ask the question out loud. Shneamar v'shalo beurim v'tumim v'lo maharher b'libo, you don't do it silently. Shneamar v'shalo. Now here, lifnei Hashem is quoted here. It seems that we got the wrong part of the pasuk. It says alpiv yetsu, that by his word they go out. So alpiv means that he's using his mouth, he's speaking. Ella, how do you ask the question? Kederach shemra chana b'tzvilata. The same way that Chana did her tzvilata, she is the paradigm for how we daven Shmoneh Esrei, which is the same thing that's going to be used here. Shneamar v'chana hi midaberet aliba. She is speaking, she's muttering, her lips are moving, but there's no sound coming out. She's speaking under her breath. She is doing it in a way that the person who's speaking can hear it, but nobody else can hear it. So the Kohen Gadol doesn't even hear the question. The question is entered without the Kohen Gadol himself hearing the question. Ein shoalim shnei davarim ke'achad. You know, I'll ask two things at once. Almost like a yes and no. Black and white. You got to ask a single question and you get a single answer. Bim shal. If he does ask two questions, ein machzirin al achad. They only answer one of the questions. Ve'ein machzirin lo el arishon. And they only answer the first question. Gemara says, is that really true? By David HaMelech, earlier on, when Shaul is chasing him down, and he goes to a city, Kil'ah, where he saves the city from the Plishtim, and then he finds out that Shaul is coming down to the city, and he wonders if he should stay in the city. Number one, is Shaul coming down to get him? And number two is, the city is a walled city with gates and locks. Are the people of the city going to turn him over to Shaul? So he has two questions that he needs to know. He needs to know, is Shaul coming? And if Shaul comes, are the people of the city going to turn me over to Shaul? He asks, Hayas giruni balei tila biyado. Are they going to hand me over to Shaul? That's number one. Hayreid Shaul. And number two is Shaul going to come here? Veyomer Hashem. He has a one-word answer. Yereid. He's coming down. Oh, Va'amar de Machzirin El Rishon. So now here it's clear he only answered one of the two questions. Problem is, he answered the second question. You told me he only answers the first question. So Gemara says, David Sha'al Shalo Beseder. David asked out of order. He asked the question in the wrong order. What's the information he needs to know? He needs to first know if Shaul is coming. That's the first piece of information he needs to know. The second piece of information he needs to know is if Shaul is coming, it's premised on the answer to the first question, which is, if Shaul comes, then will they turn me over? But he asked it the other way around. Will they turn me over? And then, is Shaul coming? So they answered him in order, meaning that they straightened it out for him. You asked it wrong, so when he responded in the right order. Once he realized that he had asked out of order, then he asked the right question. So he goes back and queries again. He asks the first question, he gets an answer, Yereid. Shaul is coming. Then he asks again, he prompts with another question, which is, Hayesgiru balei kila uti venanashai biyad Shaul. So then, again the question, will they turn me over? And the answer he gets from Hashem is, they will turn you over, and therefore he's got to leave Keilah. He's got to go into the desert to travel around because he's not safe in Keilah anymore. If he needs two answers, then they'll answer him two things. Meaning that if that's necessary, then they will do it. Meaning that the question is time sensitive, and he needs the information immediately. If the delay caused by asking two questions will make the questions irrelevant, then he can't be answered for two questions at once. Shnemar, Vayishal David Bashem Lemor. This is the question that we used as the example before with Amalei, which is, Vayishal David Bashem Lemor, Hadof Achrei Agdura Zeh, Hasigenu. So he asks two questions here. Should I chase them down? Will I catch up with them? So there it's necessary for him to know, which is, should I go and will I catch them? Meaning that's the information he knows. So the answer comes back, chase them down, because you will catch them, and you will be successful at catching them and freeing all your wives from them. Even though when a Navi comes and gives a nevuah, it can be retracted. That which is said through the Urim V'Tumim is never retracted. As Rashi gives the example of Yonah ben Amitai. The Nevuah of Yonah, that Nineveh ne'atachat, that Nineveh is going to be destroyed, that didn't come true because they do tshuva. By the Urim V'Tumim, that's not the case. If it gives out a word, that's it. It's done. Ne'amar, b'mishpat ha'urim. Just like a Gzar Din or a Psak Halacha is final, so too, the word of the Urim V'Tumim is final. Lama nikra nishman Urim V'Tumim. Why are they called the Urim and the Tumim? Urim shimeirim et divrehem, because they light up their words. Tumim shemashlemim et divrehem. And Tumim means tam, shalem. Whatever they say is done and finished. I mean, that's it. That's what's going to happen. Now, Urim can mean two things. It's either meirim divrehem means that it communicates information. Urim, as we're going to see in a second, is that's the methodology by which it conveys the information. So now, v'im tomar, if you say, wait, we have another example of them asking the Urim V'Tumim, and it doesn't seem to fit what we're saying here. Begivat Binyamin. Begivat Binyamin is Pilegesh Begivat, the end of Sefer Shoftim. Mipnei Malo Ishlimo. Over there, it didn't come true. Over there, whatever the Urim V'Tumim said was not true. What is that? They go and ask, should we fight Bnei Binyamin? The Urim V'Tumim answers, yes, go and fight. And they get slaughtered. They ask again, should we go fight Binyamin? Urim V'Tumim says, yeah, go ahead. And they get killed again. Then they ask a third time, and it says, go ahead. And then this time they win and they slaughter Binyamin. So it says here, what do you mean? It told them to go into battle each time, and yet they're getting killed in battle. They're losing the battle. And the Gemara says, Heim shlo bichanu, im lenatzeach, im lehi natzeach. They didn't ask the question, are we going to win or are we going to lose? Are we going to be beat? V'achrona, in the last case, shebichnu, iskimu. In the last question, when they clarified that issue, then everything worked out. Now, truthfully, you could say that it's the way they asked the question. But if you look now, we're going to see in 1 second, the last question they asked is no different than the first two times they asked the question, which is, should I go to battle? Should I go to battle? And the answer is yes, each time. And the final time they asked the same question, it says yes. But it happens to be the answer that they got. First two times they got an answer, should I go to battle? Yeah. They didn't get any information about whether they're going to win the battle or not. They simply said, should we go to battle? In the last case, the information comes back. Yes, you should go to battle and you're going to win. Even though they didn't ask that. But then you get the information. They weren't careful. They didn't check carefully about the information they were getting. And so in the last case, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron omed lefanav b'yamim ha'im leimor. Hausif od latzeit ha'milchamayim b'nei Binyamin achi. Should I go after battle with Binyamin, my brother, imechdal? Or should I stop? V'yom Hashem, alu, ki machar etnenu b'yadecha. Go ahead, because tomorrow you're going to win. So they didn't check the first two times about that information. They were missing that piece of first information. The first two times it says, alu, go. And they go and they get killed. This time they got the information. Go and you're going to win. It was their fault, not the fault of the Urim Bitumim. Kesa Nasit. How is the information conveyed through the Urim Bitumim? Rabbi Yochanan Omer, boltot. That the letters actually come out. They protrude outward to put together the word or the information. Veshlach HaShamar, mitzdarfot. They actually leave the Urim Bitumim and come together to make the word. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, the letters simply stick out and the Kohen Gadol has to put them together to get the right word. As opposed to Reish Lakish, which says the word is formed. Come out and they form a word. Halok Tiv. Now Gemara says, okay, that's great about conveying information, but Halok Tiv Behu Tzadi. The letter Tzadi never appears in the breastplate of the Urim Bitumim because the names of the Shvatim on it. The names of the Shvatim do not include a Tzadi. So Gemara says, no problem. Amar of Shmo Bar Yitzchak, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Tiv Sham. Not only are the names of the Shvatim written there, but also Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. So Yitzchak obviously has the Tzadi, we solved our problem. But Alok Tiv Tet. Even if you add in Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, still the letter Tet is never mentioned in any of those names. I'm Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Shiftei Yishurun Ktiv Sham also. Shiftei Yishurun, which is the name for the 12 Shvatim, is also included there. So now you get all the letters, and then you can communicate any word, because now we have all the letters of the Aleph Bet. Meitavei, Kol Kohen She'enu Mitaber Beruach HaKodesh, Ushchina Shorelav in Sholim Bo. Any Kohen Gadol who does not have Ruach HaKodesh and the Shechina is not sure in him, you don't ask him the question. He must have Ruach HaKodesh in order to have the answer from the Urim Biturim. Sharei, Shal Tzadok Valtalo, because David HaMelech asked Tzadok, and he got an answer. Evyatar, Velo Al Yaltalo, and he asked Evyatar, and he did not get a communication because Hashem was no longer Shore on Evyatar. This is where Evyatar, who was the Kohen Gadol, now gets switched out for Tzadok, being the Kohen Gadol in David's time. Shnemar, Vayal Avatar Atom Kol Ha'am, this is by the time of Avshalom, when they're leaving, Avatar comes after all the people have passed, and they go to ask the Urim Tumim, and they don't get an answer. So you see here that it's important that he has connection with Hashem, otherwise the answer doesn't come. The question here is on the explanation of Reish Lakish. According to Rabbi Yochanan, I understand why you need Ruach HaKodesh, because the letters simply stick out, and then you got to put them together. So you need Ruach HaKodesh to organize the letters in the proper word. On the other hand, for Reish Lakish, who says that comes out and forms the word, what type of Ruach HaKodesh do you need? It simply does it for you. If it does it for you, why do you need Ruach HaKodesh? And some suggest that the question is even on Rabbi Yochanan, who says that they are botot. So Gemara says, Siyuya have misaye ba'adayu. It's not enough that the Urim Bitumim does it himself, but rather the Kohen, together with the Urim Bitumim, get it together. So with the Hashrat HaShchina, then the letters pop out, or they come together when you ask. But if you don't have Ruach HaKodesh, then the Urim Bitumim will not function. It's not like you need the Ruach HaKodesh to read the word. It's the whole function doesn't work unless he has the Ruach HaKodesh. Now, our Mishnah said, Ein Sholim Elo LeMelech. You're only allowed to ask the Urim Bitumim for the king. Nahane Milik. How do you know that's true? Amar Bo, Damar Kro. The Pasuk says, with regards to Moshe passing the mantle of leadership to Yoshua, says, V'lifnei Elazar HaKohen Yamod V'shal Lo B'mishpat Orim. He'll stand before Elazar HaKohen and he'll ask for the Mishpat Orim. So it says here, Yoshua, who's going to be the king, meaning the leader of Klal Yisrael, he'll be able to ask from the Urim Bitumim. So now when it says, V'shal Lo B'mishpat Orim, so who? Ze Melech. Who means he, the king. V'chol B'nei Yisrael Yito, Ze Mashuach Milchama. The one that has all B'nei Yisrael with him, who's the one that's out there at the battle scene with B'nei Yisrael? That is the Mashuach Milchama. And all they da is Zusan Hedrin. So these are the parties that are allowed to ask from the Urim Bitumim. These are all people who are authority figures whose decision making affects all of Klal Yisrael. And therefore they are permitted to use the Urim Bitumim. That's the king. That is the Av Beitin or the Beitin. It's a question about the Girsa. And the Meshuach Milchama, the one who's taking them out to battle. So those three individuals are all permitted to ask from the Urim Bitumim. Right, with that we end Jonach Balo Kohen Gadol, we end the Avodat Yom HaKippurim, and now we lead into what Yom Kippur is for us today, which is the Chameshet Inuyim. The five Inuyim of Yom Kippur, as Tosafot points out over here, Seder HaMasechta, here is the layout of the Masechta. Tchila Nakat Zayin Yamim Kodom Yom HaKippurim. The first parak is about the 7 days in preparation for Yom HaKippurim. Then the Leil Yom Kippurim, they discuss the night of Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol at night. Then the Avodat Yayom. And now, finally, we get to Hilchot Yom, the days of Iser and Heter of the day. So this is the final parak of Yoma. Again, for us today, this has the most application, this is the most practical of the parakim. Yom HaKippurim Asur Ba'Achila U'Bishtia U'Berichitza U'Besicha U'Benilat HaSandal Tashmish HaMita. These are otherwise known as the Chameshit Inuim. Because it says that you have to be ma'aneh yourself on Yom HaKippurim, the Gemara will learn, we'll see how we know that these items are included in inui, but it precludes you from eating, drinking, washing, bathing, sicha is anointing, nilat ha-sandal is wearing shoes, utashmish mita is cohabiting. V'melech v'akala yechatzu et pneihem. A king and a bride can wash their faces, because a king always has to have an appearance becoming the king, melech biyofyo, king in his beauty. And a kala has to win the favor of her husband. So in the early part of her marriage, we give her permission to wash her face. V'chaya, and a woman who is post-pregnancy, tinol et sandal. She's allowed to wear shoes, doesn't give us the definition of what a chaya is. She's allowed to wear shoes. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. That's Rabbi Eliezer's position. V'chamim osrim. V'chamim oroser. Good here, see their argument about being whether the dispensations are allowed. Or you could argue here as to whether the issues of inui are derabanan and doraita. If they're only derabanan, you can understand why they're dispensations. If they're doraita, then why would there be exceptions to the rule? So they could be arguing about whether they're derabanan or doraita, or they could be arguing whether the dispensation applies or not. Someone who eats the size of a date, it and its pit, and someone who drinks the amount of a cheekful, chayav. That is the amount that you have to eat or drink on Yom Kippur in order to be in violation of the inui. Kol ha'ochlim mitztarfim lekotevet. The all foods will come together to add up to a kotevet, to a size of a date. Kol ha'mashkim mitztarfim lemelol nugav. And all drinks, all liquids will come together to form the amount of melol nugav v'chikvol. Ha'ochel v'shoteh ein mitztarfim. But eating and drinking do not come together to form a single shi'ur. Mara says, Yom HaKippurim asur. What do you mean asur? Anush karetu. It's not just asur. You get karet if you violate the inuim. Amar Rabbi Ila, v'itamer Rabbi Yirmiyah, lo nitzrucha lechatzi shiur. That's only for if he eats less than a shiur. So hanicha lamanda amar chatzi shiur asur min haTorah. That works well according to one who says that less than a shiur of violating the isur is still asur. If you eat half a kotevet, or you drink half a lulav, even though you're not going to be punished for that, it's still not permitted. Elamanda Amar Chatzi Shur Mutar Minatorah Ma'ikal Meimar. According to what it says, Chatzi Shur Minatorah doesn't exist. Minatorah, there's a threshold. That's the threshold where you start becoming asur. Less than that would be fine. Ditmar Chatzi Shur Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asur Minatorah. The Torah precludes you from eating a Chatzi Shur. Resh Lakish Amar Mutar Minatorah. Minatorah, there's no preclusion until you hit the threshold of the Shi'ur. Until that point in time, it might be asur min derabanan, but definitely not De'oraita. So anicha the Rabbi Yochanan, that works well according to Rabbi Yochanan in our Mishnah, why it says asur. El Rish Lakish, ma'iko lemeimar. According to Rish Lakish, what are you going to say? Mar says, mo de Rish Lakish, asur midrabanan. That's the answer. Rish Lakish agrees that may not be asur midoraita, but it is asur midrabanan. So the term asur here is okay if you're talking about a chatzi shiur. So our Mishnah is talking about even in a chatzi shiur, you have a problem with these items. They're asur. They're not going to be chayav great, but they're still asur. For Rabbi Yochanan, you're asur min haTorah. For Shlakish, you're asur mide rabbanan. Mar says, Yochin lo nechayav alei korban shivua. If that's the case, you should not be chayav a korban shivua. Now, that's what korban shivua is for, shvat bitui. Person takes a shivua to not eat something. And then he goes ahead and eats it. Is there a minimum shiur that he has to eat in order to be chayav for violating his own shivua? Alomotznan. Why is it written in the Mishnah in Shavuot that Shavua shelo ochal takes a Shavua that I'm not going to eat v'achal? And then he goes to eat nevelot, shreifot, shkatzim, v'ramasim, chayav. If he eats all these items and not kosher, they're not otherwise edible, he's still chayav. Rabbi Shimon poter. Rabbi Shimon says no way. V'avinam ba, am I chayav? Why is he chayav? Moshba ba'omid mehar Sinaihu. We have a concept that if you already have a Torah law, if you take a Shavua either to violate that Torah law or to do something along that Torah law, doesn't matter. It has no impact. Over here, you're not allowed to eat these items because the Torah says you're not allowed to eat these items. You take a Shavua not to eat, has no bearing on that. You're already precluded from eating them because you're not allowed to eat them. So eating them should not be a violation of the Shavua because the Shavua doesn't take effect. When it says, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan, Damre, Bekolel, Dvarim, Mutarim, and Dvarim, Asurim. Included in your Shua not to eat, not only things that are Asur, but also things that are Mutar, what's called a Shuat Kolel. Kolel means, I put together a bunch of items, and I say, I'm not going to eat kosher and non-kosher. So the non-kosher is not relevant, because you're already Mushbav, made by Sinai. But if you package them together in a single Shvua, because Migo, that the kosher stuff works, so too the non-kosher stuff works. So that's what they said here. He ate the non-kosher item. But when he made the Shvua, he said, I'm not going to eat kosher and non-kosher items. Because of that, Shvua Kolel works. And obviously Rabbi Shimon disagrees because he believes that Kolel does not work. That Kolel by Yisurim does not work. Reish Lakish Amar, I ata motze lubim faresh chati shiur v'alibid Rabbanan, obustam alibid Rabbi Kiva. The case there is a case where he specified that he would not eat even a morsel worth of these items. Now, Minat Torah, according to Reish Lakish, you're only asur in these items from a kezayit and onward. Less than a kezayit, you're not mushbav made me har Sinai. So therefore, if he takes a shvua about less than that amount, he's taking a shvua that could be chal. So that's how Reish Lakish explains it. That's according to Rabbanan. Or, stam alibit Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, when you say shvua shlo achal, it means I'm not going to eat a morsel. The Rabbanan say, when I say shvua shlo achal, it's governed by achila and the kol haTorah kula. That's a kezayit, is the threshold. So if you want to specify less than a kezayit, you have to explicitly say that. So that's what he says. According to Rabbanan, you explicitly say it, you're asur. According to Rabbi Akiva, you just say, I'm not going to eat. Not going to eat means I'm not going to eat anything. Forget about it, because it's not relevant over here. Because Rabbi Akiva believes that when you say, I'm not going to eat, means a morsel. Doesn't mean a kezayit. So what are you going to say now? Because it's a heter mina Torah, that's what Reish Lakish just suggested, that because less than a kezayit is mutter mina Torah, according to Reish Lakish, the shitato, that chatzi shur is mutter mina Torah, then that's why the shvuat bitui is chal here, and you have to bring a korban. Well, karban shvuat, that's not. We have a case of shvuat eidut. Shvuat eidut is a case where someone comes and tells you, I want you to testify on my behalf. I don't have any testimony for you. Take a shvua that you have no testimony from you. That's called shvuat eidut. He takes a shvua that he has no testimony. It turns out that did no testimony. In that case, you have to bring a korban shvuat eidut. So there, shvuat eidut in reheget ele bruim la'id. You have to be ro'oi in order to give testimony. The only reason that your shvua has impact is because you could have testified on his behalf. You could have changed the course of the din. Since you could have testified and you refused to testify and took a shvua to that effect, now you are chayav. Vavinimba, the mute mai. Where does that come to exclude? Rapapa amar the mute melech. That comes to exclude a king, because a king is not allowed to come and testify. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. About kings may not be testified against, or may not testify because of the danger of a king being involved in a normal judiciary process. Vavachar bar Yaakov amar the mute misachek bekubia. Comes to exclude someone who's a gambler. Vaha misachek bekubia midoraita micha chazi. A gambler, mina Torah, is mutar to give testimony. It's only v'rabbanan hu debasvua. It's only a psul midrabbanan. Whether you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, because it's not his main livelihood, or you hold that asmachta is kanya, for whatever reason it is that doraita he's ra'oi. The only reason he's precluded here is because of din derabbanan. V'lo kachayle leishvua. And there shvat eidut does not take effect. So what do you see there? Even though mina Torah, he's ra'oi to testify. But only midrabbanan, he is asur. And yet we say shvat eidut doesn't apply. Why don't you say the same thing by shvat bitui? By shvat bitui, you said that it's only asur from kezayit and onward for mina Torah. Less than a kezayit, Reish Lakish agrees, is asur midrabbanan. So why are you saying that a shvat can be chal on the din rabbanan? You have an isur of lot asur. So my answer is shiny hotum damakra im lo yagid. The pasuk says, when are you chayav shvat eidut? When you don't testify. Vaylav baragodahu. Well, he can't give testimony. It doesn't matter why he is precluded from giving testimony. It just means that he can't give testimony. Whether it's because the Torah precluded him or the Rabbanim precluded him, he is now not able to give testimony. If he's not able to give testimony, he has no bearing on the case. If he takes the shvua that I don't know anything, it doesn't make a difference. He couldn't have testified anyway. And so it doesn't matter if it's the Rabbanim or the Doraita that affect it. So this is a unique din to Shvuat Eidut. It's not true by Shvuat HaBitui. Okay, we'll stop over here.